on our agenda. Number six is enacted 2013 through 2015 capital budget request. This is a briefing. Tim Burns.
Morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name is Tim Burns. I'm the Assistant Director for the Capital and Asset Management Program, and this is my first opportunity to address the Commission. So good morning, and I'm excited about this. I guess I can say I'm still relatively new. I'm less than a year, but I think my assistant or chief engineer, Glenn, is probably tired of hearing that from me. And, he's probably waiting for me to actually get some work done for a change. So again, this is a informational brief only. There's no action required by the commission. Some of these projects you'll recognize as projects that you approved in our initial capital budget submission last September. And I will also cover a few of the Recreation and Conservation Office projects that we were recently informed of that we will be receiving money for this next biennium also. Our budget is made up of two parts, reappropriations from previous biennia and new appropriations. So we received approval for $85 million in reappropriations. That's significantly higher than in past years. And as you recall, last summer, we received about $68 million in the Jobs Now Act for construction. So for the past year, we've been doing a lot of design and permitting, and this is actually our first construction season to spend a lot of that money. So our folks are extremely busy getting those ready and starting to award a number of contracts this summer. New appropriations are, we've got three classifications. That's preservation, programmatic, and grants. Preservation are projects that are essentially to maintain existing facilities, no significant improvements. Then there are programmatic projects, which are significant improvements or new programs that we're supporting. And lastly, the grants are typically passed through grants to other organizations. I'm going to cover the preservation projects. We received about $15 million total in preservation. The largest portion is about $10 million is minor work. So I'm not going to go through every single one of these 20-plus projects, but if you do have a particular question, I'll attempt to answer that. In years past, we would receive this money and essentially not tied to specific projects. And we would take the block of money and then we would go through our priority list and then select those projects and typically trying to follow the priorities that we gave the legislature. This year they tied the money to specific projects, so they helped us by selecting projects. For the most part, they do follow our priorities, but there are a few where they dip down. So our capital working group will be meeting in the next week or so, and what we'll be doing is reviewing that list and see if we need to adjust some of those projects, because as you recall, these projects are developed and submitted last September, and sometimes priorities will change over the past year. And if there are any revisions, we will still need to coordinate those with OFM and the legislative staffs. And in years past, we've typically gotten approval for that as long as we don't make really big changes. Additional preservation projects, we received over $3 million for the Wooten Wildlife Area. And this is the first phase of a three-biennia project. It's over $23 million total. And the legislature funded $500,000 to relocate two small campgrounds out of the floodplain and also provided us the spending authority for $2.6 million that we will receive from BPA, the Bonneville Power Authority, for habitat enhancement. What they did not fund in this first phase was the $1.8 million that we had planned on using for pre-design, which is master planning and trying to get an initial what we call 30% design for the entire project. So that's going to lend a little difficulty in subsequent phases, but we will resubmit that for the next biennium. In addition, we received $1.6 million to repair fire damage fences from last year's wildfires, and also $350,000 for the cooperative fencing program. And this is the program between the department and local landowners for trying to mitigate crop damage from elk and deer. Moving on to programmatic, we received approximately $9 million in this classification. A few minor works projects. As you can see, there was $500,000 for Heard Creek Hatchery, the Mayfield Lake Net Pens, and then a small project for the Nanaimo area to construct a primitive road. And that's very primitive. It's about a mile for $25,000. It's essentially take a grader and scrape a trail. In addition, we received over $7 million to kickstart the Deschutes Watershed Center. Again, that's a three-biennial project totaling almost $40 million. And $6 million of that is to renovate the Tumwater Falls facility. And then the other $1.3 million is to do the initial site work for a new hatchery at the Pioneer Park site, which is just upstream from Tumwater Falls. And then lastly, the last two projects, we received $500,000 for Beebe Springs Phase 5, and we believe this is the last phase for the Beebe Springs project. This is to construct a new fishing pond and some trails to that pond. And then lastly, migratory waterfall habitat enhancement money for the programmatic.
And what is included in the migratory waterfall habitat improvement?
Those are enhancement projects that support the waterfowl, and the money comes from the Washington bird stamps that we sell.
Okay.
We don't have any specific projects identified at this time.
Okay.
And then lastly is the grant. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
How would those projects be identified then?
Our staffs would work with, I think, local organizations that usually the Habitat Program, and they would develop a kind of conceptual project, and then they would bring it to us to camp, and then we would work together to work on a design and cost estimate.
Would that be something like a local chapter of Ducks Unlimited could propose an idea to our staff in a region?
I believe so. Glenn, what we've done in the past.
We've improved...
Could you come up and
we've gotten leases so we can provide more opportunity. It's managed out of the wildlife program, and this is not actually funding, it's authority. So as we sell licenses and that money becomes available, we can spend what's available.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, and maybe this is already underway, but this is a great kind of potential for outreach and partnering through the Washington Waterfowl Association or something. I could see.
Totally done.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Because then if it's a grassroots initiative, that increases the
leverage match money with.
Great. There. Thank you.
Good. Thanks.
And lastly, are the grants classification? Essentially, these are all pass-through grants for the most part. $100,000 is for the University of Washington Shellfish Program. And then $3.5 million is working or partnering with the Northwest Straits Foundation for removal of derelict nets in Puget Sound. I think you may have seen there's been some articles in some recent newspapers. And then lastly is $36 million for authority to use federal, state, and local monies. And this is essentially for purchasing of land and real estate actions for the department.
Commissioner Mencken has a question.
Can you explain in a little more detail what the lab equipment going to the University of Washington Shellfish Laboratory might be about?
We don't know much more than that. It just showed up in our budget. We didn't ask for it. I think it's for a program up in Mukilteo. It took us a while to find out what the money was for, actually. It happens occasionally.
Could you get that explanation to
absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
And then not necessarily part of our capital budget, but a significant amount of work that our program and CAMP, the Capital and Asset Management Program, manages are the RCO projects. And we received over $15 million, or the agency received over $15 million and in about five or six categories, and received $11 million for critical habitat projects, as you can see listed there in those five locations. $600,000 for state lands development and renovation projects at North Willapa Bay and Old Highway 10. And Old Highway 10 is in the Ellensburg area. And then additionally, $1.4 million to purchase two drift boat access sites and along the Yakima River. We received over $1 million for state lands restoration projects, as in mostly forest thinning, as you can see in that top group of projects. And then lastly, in our boating access facility program, we received over $1 million to make improvements at the Black Lake access, Sprague Lake, and then do some planning at for new access sites at Fish Lake and Lake Wenatchee. And that concludes my briefing for today. It was rather quickly, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Commissioner Smith?
Just one quick one, and then that last slide of the fishing pier kind of triggered it. As we're building these new facilities, are we working with our outdoor access partners in terms of people with you know, physical challenges and...
Absolutely. We have incorporated ADA requirements in loading ramps for loading into boats at many of our access sites. And also, a lot of the access sites get new toilets, and they're ADA accessible also.
And we work with our advisory group to the...
Okay. That's good.
Thank you. Commissioner Schmitten?
Thank you, Chair. Very excellent testimony. I just wanted to say as a disclaimer, I had nothing to do with the Lake Wenatchee boat launch, Fish Lake boat launch. Both are within 3 miles of my home.
So the sign with your name over it?
Good clarification. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have a follow-up to Commissioner Smitten. Lake Wenatchee boat launch planning. So is $108,000 to create a plan, talk about a plan, or... create a boat launch improvement?
Planning and design work. It's not the construction. And then what we would do with that is we would submit another RCO request to see if we get RCO money to pay for that.
Does that seem like a lot of money for planning to you, Larry?
Yes. I guess, is that being done internally, or is that being done by the private sector?
We haven't decided yet how that will go. That will also cover permitting costs. There may sometimes our access sites have some land acquisition and real estate requirements that cost money also.
Okay, thank you.
Deputy Director Storr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe a little bit of follow-up. It might be interesting for the commissioners to get a briefing at some point about how these cost estimates are derived, and to get a sense of the steps that you have to go through with RCO, what RCO does once we get there, and just so you have a sense of you know, where the dollars go to. And we are often having this discussion internally too. You know, it costs that much kind of thing. And along those lines, Tim, could you address the $1.4 million for the two water access sites that was up there a ways, the Yakima River access sites?
That is to purchase two existing drift boat access sites and I believe about 3 miles of property along the Yakima River.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Knowing a little bit about drift boats, maybe not enough, but why do we need 3 miles of shoreline for a drift boat launch? I mean, we need about 100 yards square for parking and launching it, from my perspective. So I just throw that out as a question.
Sure. I'll have to get back with you on that.
These are RCO projects, which
yes,
means
ma'am.
They've been vetted through the RCO lead entity process or joint venture. I'm not sure how capital budget projects get vetted.
We applied to RCO.
Oh, we applied to
RCO. We applied to RCO for a grant. Uh-huh. They, in different categories, water access being one of them. Our projects are reviewed with all of the other ones. Sometimes we compete with private, local. Sometimes we just compete with other state agencies. That group that reviews those projects puts them in order. The funding that's available, they fund down to the line.
Okay. Any other questions? Commissioner Mankin?
Kind of as an aside, not directly related to what you've presented here today, which is really a good presentation. Do we have a list of the boat launch ramps in the state that we maintain and that others maintain as well? I've had discussions with people about Seacrest Marina and the deterioration of the boat ramp and access to that boat ramp. But I couldn't answer the question as to whether that was one of our boat ramps or not.
I'm not familiar with that one. I know we have close to 800 access sites or boat ramps that we maintain.
This is a really highly visible boat ramp located on Alki Point in Elliott Bay, or near Alki Point. So there's a lot of interest. It gets an enormous amount of use, and it is in very terrible shape.
We'll find out if that's ours or somebody else's.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Manager. I just have one more comment. Great presentation, and I'd like to follow up with Joe and learn more perhaps in a presentation about how these dollars are arrived at and what it costs. But it would be helpful to me, at least, if when you put up a slide that says Clear Lake, for example, or Fish Lake, I don't know how many Clear Lakes there are in this state or how many Fish Lakes, but I know there's multiple. Perhaps what county it is, just to give us a little bit better perspective, that would be appreciated.
Sorry about that.
I'm done now.
I guess you are. Okay.
That specific Clear Lake is in the Yelm area.
Well, I recall when I first joined the commission, the Burke report was mandated by the legislature, in which the department's management of its capital budget was scrutinized seriously. And one of the recommendations that came out of the Burke report was that we really look at our internal design engineers and whether it made sense to maintain a crew of engineers within the department to do internal design. And I think we came to a conclusion that that wasn't the most cost-effective way to do business, but it was challenging to transition from that many personnel in that office to a different model of how we'd use people. So this is interesting that we're getting back to talking about whether outsourcing is the most cost-efficient way to do things. I think you can make arguments on both sides, but we did go through that process of considering whether we should even maintain engineering staff internally. And also, the Burke report is important for new commissioners, for all of us to remember that there was a time when the capital budget was very problematic. We were getting appropriated lots and lots of money and not able to spend it in a timely fashion. That was upsetting to the legislature. And that is why they wanted a serious look at how the agency manages its capital budget. It also called for the commission to have a role, an oversight role of some depth in the capital budget management of the department. It assigned some of the blame for the bad old days to the commission's lax behavior. Given that we are a board of directors, we have to pay attention. We are the ones that will hold the department accountable for its expenditure of state funds, taxpayer dollars. So things have improved immensely, and we're, I think, now still in a position of feeling comfortable that the department is keeping track, accounting, and reporting to us thoroughly and responsive to the need for accountability to the taxpayer dollars. So We were also asked to look at the Burke Report follow-up on a regular basis. Maybe we should have another presentation on that sometime, keep us on our toes, so to speak, so we never fall into that situation again where we're spanked by the legislature. But, oh, and I did want to say, too, the success that we had in our capital budget request was really impressive, just like our success with our operating budget request. I think we're all kind of amazed, right? It worked out very well. So good job.
Thank you. And with the influx of the Jobs Now Act money, our workload essentially quadrupled last summer. We have outsourced pretty much all of the design work for particularly for the capital budget and for Jobs Now. There are some designs we hold in-house because, I'll be honest, we do a better job of it. As an example, a lot of the boat access sites, because we've got guys that have been doing that for years and years, and they know how to do it, and they know what the issues are at each site. So usually the boat access site, we'll keep that in-house. Some of the more other projects, we'll outsource those.
And I think just one last point is that in the bad old days, we really didn't have a prioritized list of capital projects that need to be attended to. So that was one of the innovations in the last several years, prioritized list and of minor and major, and we're going through that list in a methodical way. So it all looks far more rational and thought out now than it used to be. So, good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.